Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you, to share with you the unsearchable riches of Christ. We are so humbled by the blessings of our Lord and the great things that He is doing. We have been able to have been on the Jim Baker Show. We had a little larger segment today on the Jim Baker program today. There'll even be a larger segment tomorrow of me on the Baker program. And I've just heard there may be a fifth day of the Jim Baker program with us on there. So it's kind of changed and evolved for whatever reason. I do not know why it has continued to evolve, but God has a plan. And there's a reason for His plan and His purpose. I've come to understand, as I've grown older and more mature in Christ, that God's plan is absolutely perfect. And so we might not always understand why God is doing things the way He is doing them. But I'm happy to report that God is on His throne. He's high and He's lifted up. The last time I checked, He was still the King of Kings and He was still the Lord of Lords. And still the Son of the living God, and no man has triumphed Him, and no man will triumph over Him. Amen. He is the triumphant one. He destroyed death and hell. Of course, death will ultimately be destroyed. I might have should have said defeated death. Death will ultimately be destroyed at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ after what we know better as the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation 20 and verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Thus, Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Such the second death hath no power. Praise God. You want to be in the first resurrection? And no, they're not. Two parts, three parts, four parts, five parts to the resurrection. I got a very arrogant, another female. I just, you know, you ladies can get mad at me if you want to. And I love, I don't want to be like Donald Trump. Oh, I love the women. That's nonsensical. But all of my hate mail comes from women. Another one today said, I used the term on the Jim Baker Show, that they were cooking the books. She said, no, you're cooking the books. I've never seen so many women attack me in all of my life. But that's all right. That's not to castigate any woman listening to this broadcast. It's just I wonder why that spirit has become so predominant. I reckon Hillary is having a greater impact than I ever imagined. But Jezebel, she was a murderer. She was a liar. She was a deceiver. She got Naboth killed so she could get his vineyard and gave it to Ahab. I know there will be those who will be offended, but there is a spirit that is negatively affecting the lives of women. Because I'm telling you, in the last 6 months, since December, I've got more hate mail from women. It's 99% of the hate comes from women. And you tell me what's wrong with that. God knows I'm not bashing women. I love my wife. Women are a gift to God. They're to be the sole lovers of men. And now women are fighting to be the sole lovers of men because now men are sodomites and loving men. It's all messed up. But I've never seen such hate from women in all of my life. And yet they don't see it. That's the bad thing. But just like Paul told the church at Corinth, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, as the serpent beguiled Eve, lest your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This whole male and female thing is getting totally out of hand in every sense of the word. Before I get into the program, I want to share, I mentioned this last week, White House poised to create first gay monument to gay rights. This was just Friday, right here close to my home, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District is dealing with transgender students using the bathroom they identify with. Recently, an Olympic High School student who was born female but identifies as male had to use the restroom. She couldn't wait for the accommodations that were planned, so he, who's really a she, went into the boys' restroom. The student, the girl, pulled down, it says his pants, but her pants, to use the bathroom as a male student walked in. So here's a girl wearing jeans or some kind of pants, and she pulls them down and goes into a stall to use the bathroom because she's a female. But even this article is stupid because they're trying to call her a he. The student that walked into the bathroom saw the image and he immediately walked out. Parents quickly emailed the school district, concerned that if the wrong student walked in, there could have been trouble. WBTV, that's the CBS Channel 3 affiliate, was told administrators are tightening up the plan and talk to the student. Now, can you imagine, I'm 61 years old. Can you imagine what my principal would have done to me, Mr. Waters or Mr. Edmonston, as an 18-year-old guy went into a girl's bathroom? Can you imagine what he would have done to me? He would have taken me to his office. He would have taken his paddle and wore my hind end out. I know Mr. Edmonston and I know Mr. Waters very well. They would have blistered my fanny. Parents quickly emailed the school district concerned that if the wrong student walked in, there could have been trouble. WBTV was told administrators are tidying up the plan and talked to the student. The question now is, since the federal government sent a letter to all North Carolina public schools instructing them to let students use the bathroom they identify with, can the school district prevent this from happening again? CMS, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, sent WBTV a statement regarding its actions concerning the letter from the federal government. CMS has received the correspondence from the United States Department of Education and Department of Justice providing joint guidance on Title IX. The statement read, CMS will review the guidelines to determine how they may inform our efforts to provide inclusive environments for all of our students. Republican State Representative Craig Horn is concerned about the letter sent to schools. He told WBTV he has received emails from parents worried about their children's safety while at school. There certainly could be a safety issue, Horn said. I'm not ringing the bell of fear, but I have to be concerned. Kids are kids. We do crazy things. Well, I've had several phone calls, several emails asking me what to do. Here's what you do, parents. You go to your school. You don't pick a fight. You don't start a fight. You get as many parents as you can to go with you, and you tell them, until they make this right, your child will not go to a school where your daughter can be molested or raped or vice versa. And you keep your children at home. You see, now it's not even safe to send your children to school because this sodomite-loving president, this Muslim who uses the Dhimmitude as a means and method of corrupting. Now, God told me in 2012 everything would accelerate. That was the one word he gave me in my 21-day fast 4 years ago in January. He said everything would begin to accelerate. Now, I'm not in for brawls and for fights. Paul spoke often. It got him arrested. It got him put in jail. He did not pick a fight. He just stood and spoke the truth. Those of you people who bother to email your school district or superintendent of the district, all of you collectively, 30, 40, 50 of you parents, need to get together and go to your school and tell them, my child will not be in this school again until you stop this mess. Now, I know it won't be long until they start coming after me. I know that. But if my parents had took a stand in 1963 and all the so-called Christian pastors and preachers would have said to the parents, do not send your children back to school until they put prayer back in the school. But nobody did anything. Nobody did anything. They just let that one Jezebel get prayer out of school because she was an atheist. Well, I guarantee you, if you could talk to her right now while she's burning in hell, she would regret profusely her denial of God because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm telling every parent listening to me, or grandparent for that matter of fact, you go. They can't lock every grandparent and every parent up and have all these truancy officers trying to arrest all these kids. It can't happen. But if you sit there and you do nothing, your child will be molested. Your child will be raped. Because I don't care if you're a Christian or not and you listen to this broadcast. Where is your moral conviction to stand up in behalf of your son or your daughter? This spiritual demon in Washington, D.C. at the White House is going to wreak more havoc than you can imagine between now and November. I'm telling you, this man is going to destroy. He's like Apollyon. He's going to destroy everything he can destroy, him and his transvestite, whatever that is. He's going to destroy. Why do you think I'm preaching on they did not like to retain God in their knowledge? This is the result of not staying God conscious. This is the result of not being God conscious. You better step up to the plate. You better step up, Mama. You better step up, Daddy. I'm not telling you to go and pick a fight. I'm telling you to go and tell them, I'm not putting my school back in this molestation. I'm not putting my child in this school with this molestation. I'm not going to subject my child to this filth. Thank God mine are grown. But because we do nothing, I got criticized for asking people to just go pray with Franklin Graham at the capital of your state. I mean, I can't say nothing. I can't promote godliness without being attacked. That tells me where their state of mind is, that they're not right with God. I didn't ask you to support Franklin Graham. I didn't ask you to support Samaritan's Purse. I didn't ask you to believe in Franklin Graham. I asked you to go do one thing, pray. And I got criticized for it. I got criticized for asking people to pray. You're going to sit here and do nothing and be destroyed. This demon in the White House, who probably has more than a legion of demons in him, is going to do everything he can to destroy. You remember when Bill Clinton left office, they talked about how that his staff jerked the telephone wires out of the wall. They jerked the cable system wires out of the wall. They desecrated the White House. What's the word am I looking for here? That's teenagers. That's petty. Obama wants to damn, destroy, ruin. He told you he was going to change the country. He told you you're voting for hope and change. What a liar. He's taken away all of your hope and given you nothing but filthy change. We're becoming a hopeless nation. We're becoming a hopeless nation. So I would admonish parents, grandparents, go down to the school and tell your principal of that school until they get this filth straightened out, you're not going to subject your child, your grandchild, to this filth and immorality. I told my wife, we were talking about this, of course, I was in the birthing room. I cut all four umbilical cords. But you all remember the renowned statement, the famous statement, as soon as the child comes out, what the doctor says. You remember the renowned, famous statement? The doctor always says, as soon as the child comes out of the womb, and he looks at it. He looks at its genitalia. He says, well, you got a little girl. Well, you got a little boy. He didn't say, I don't know what you got here. I'm confused. He looked between the child's legs and said, you got a little girl. You got a little boy. I heard that two times for girls. I heard that two times for boys. Well, preacher, you got your little girl. Preacher, you got your little boy. Preacher, you got your little girl. Preacher, you got your little boy. That's the way they were born. Boy, girl. Excuse me. Girl, boy. Girl, boy. That's the way my children were born in chronology. Girl, boy, girl, boy. And every time he told me what I had before I knew. He told me what it was. Why? Well, he had two eyes. He was a physician. Anatomically, he understood what a child is when it's born. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They want to obliterate and wipe God away from our minds. I'm telling you, go and stand. Don't start a fight. You don't have to pick it. You just aggregately get your community, get your neighborhood of parents. You go down to the school, and you say, I want to talk to the principal of this school. And you tell him or you tell her, my child will not be back in this school, or my grandchild will not be back in this school until you get this fixed. Do you hear me? You can even raise your voice. I said you can even raise your voice. You say, well, isn't that a sin? Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with anger. Righteous anger will change unrighteousness. Passiveness doesn't change a thing. Let me quote the whole scripture. I want you to get the whole context. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't commit a wrathful act and then have to go back and apologize for it. Don't commit a wrathful act and then let the sun go down on it. Get it straightened out. But be angry and sin not. You see, anger can be destructive or anger can be constructive. You'll be surprised how many non-Christians are upset with this kind of mess. And let me say to all you good Democratic Christians, oh, Lord, I should have never said that, that voted, I heard this morning how Prince always read scriptures before a concert, his mentor, bass player. I wonder if he ever read any scripture about fornicating, drunkenness, pharmakia, drugs. Well, you know good and well he didn't read those. Because in those hold words of God that convict men of their sins. I've never seen such a time when all black artists die. Not a one of them were lost. Not one. Not one. They all are preached into heaven. Whitney Houston, James Brown, Prince. I'm like, they never served God. They all died horrible drug deaths. Elvis Presley, who loved to sing gospel music, you see, that was the spirit of Satan mocking him. Where he was raised in a Pentecostal home. It's amazing. It's amazing what people will preach, and then people sitting there believe that lie. And they think, well, I can live like this and still go to heaven too. No, you can't. No, you can't. Let me quote it before I get into the message. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you reckon these people I just named were righteous? Or would you say they were unrighteous? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you expect me to believe all these people doing drugs and rock and roll music or practicing celibacy, I didn't fall off the turnip truck last night. I was born at night, but not last night. You see, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And the more you can push God out of this nation, push God out of men's consciousness, the less conviction there is upon men and their lives. Let's pick it back up in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God or had a mind that was not seared or reprobate, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These names I just quoted are foolish people because their hearts are darkened, because their hearts are foolish. Remember the words of Paul the Apostle in Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Do you think premature death with drugs is corruption? Oh, I just can't. I thought of another one. Michael Jackson. They all have their personal physicians, opiates. Michael was taking sedatives just to get sleep that you use to put people to sleep for surgery. Money will damn your soul, as Paul said. And they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's self-afflicted. It's self-piercing. Let me quote it, 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's no greater sorrow than death without God. That's the greatest sorrow of humanity, is death without God. Death without God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Moros. You've heard me quote it before. The English word is morons. Professing themselves to be wise, they became morons. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? Here's the rhetorical answer from God in verse 10, Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. I reward him according to his ways, and I reward him according to the fruit of his doing. They died, overdosed on drugs. So they're rewarded according to the fruit of their doing. They were unrighteous. I don't sentence anybody to heaven. I don't sentence anyone to hell. But the fruit of their lives do not tell me they were of Jesus Christ. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You do the lust he puts in your heart. We'll get into that quickly. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I mentioned that last week. That's the abomination of desolation. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God. Obama said, I'm going to give you hope and change. That was his theme. That was his motif. And because they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Let me tell you what the word uncleanness means here. Filth. It's number 167 in your strong exhaustive concordance. Gave him up unto filth in a natural or a physical sense. Moral uncleanness, lewdness, unnatural pollutions, any kind of uncleanness different from whoredom. Whoredom. Now, there's two types of whoredom. There's the whoredom of a man sleeping with a whore. And then there's the whoredom of a man sleeping with a man, or a woman sleeping with a woman. It's lewdness, unnatural pollutions, different from natural whoredom. That's the definition of uncleanness here. Natural whoredom is a normal man going out on the street and getting a prostitute, female, and committing that type of whoredom. Now, it's sin, it's wrong, it's fornication. But what Paul is talking about here is unnatural pollution. And it goes on to say in the Greek, any kind of uncleanness different from whoredom, talking about a man sleeping with a prostitute. Rahab the harlot, she was a whore. Go back and read Joshua. Go back and read the encounter that Joshua and the spies had with Rahab the harlot. Some want to say that she was an innkeeper. She kept a motel or hotel or whatever you want to call it. But she hid the spies on the roof of the house with stalks of flax. She done that to hide those two spies because she said, I know that the Lord God that you serve is an awesome God, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land faint, or they literally melt, because of you and your God. You'll read all of this in Joshua chapter 2. She said, we've heard how he dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. What he did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed, King Og, the giant. Deuteronomy chapter 3. And as soon as we heard about these things, our hearts, they melted in us. Then it said, or she said, all of our men, they lost their courage because of you. Because your God, he is the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. She said, I pray that you will swear unto me by your God that I helped spare your lives and showed you this kindness. You'll give me a token. You'll give me a symbol that you will spare us, that we may live and be alive. My mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, and deliver us from death. The men said, our lives for your lives, if ye utter not this our business, it shall be well with you and the Lord. They said, when we come into Jericho, you need to put this line of scarlet thread in the window, a type of the blood of Jesus Christ, same as in Exodus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. That scarlet thread was a type of atonement for their souls. And we will pass over you and your house and not kill any of you. That's how she was saved. And she, Rahab the harlot, was brought into the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. She married a man named Salmon. Salmon, I believe, is the actual pronunciation. And they birthed Boaz. And Boaz and Ruth beget Obed. And Obed beget Jesse. And Jesse beget the psalmist David. And the rest, you know. Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, for the blind man said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." You see, I know I'm old school. I'm very, very old school, but I'm not an old man. Well, I'm 61. My son reminded me the other day, I said I was 60. He said, no, Daddy, you're 61 now. I said, doggone it, you didn't let me get by with that. He said, I'm just keeping you straight. My 19-year-old is keeping me straight. You're 61. I said, I'm planning on living to be 93 or 94, so don't get in any hurry for any inheritance, boy. I got too much work to do for God. Thank you for the emails. When I made the statement, if I was not on the radio, would it make a difference? Thank you. Many of you said, what a hole, what a void, what an emptiness there would be if we could not hear such pure, unadulterated words from God. Thank you. Thank you from my heart. Thank you for caring. You see, I know scripturally my work and labor of love is not in vain. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, that ye have ministered, and ye do minister to the saints." There's not a time, I don't say this arrogantly, I do not say this to be obnoxious or with any kind of bigotry, but I know when I come to this microphone, I preach the word of God to you. And I do not hold back anything from you because I want you to be saved. I don't want you to be lost. The Holy Ghost, yesterday morning as I was praying, ministered so profusely in my spirit. And I sought God and I asked God for two distinct things about preaching. I said, God, let me preach with such conviction that men shudder, women shudder at the preaching of the Word of God. Let me preach with untold conviction. But I said, God, let the spirit of compassion, let the spirit of compassion be interwoven, intertwined with that conviction to let people know I care. I do not want you to be lost. The portion that was added on the Jim Baker Show today, I quoted 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I said, I have but so many years left. And my years are for one purpose. I want to preach repentance and bring as many souls as I can into the kingdom of God. And let me remind you, those of you who help me, not only praying for me, but help support this ministry financially, you will partake in every soul that is ever won. You will be a recipient. You will be blessed for every soul that I reach, those who have stopped their fornication, those who have stopped their adultery, those who stopped their drunkenness, smoking their weed, their cocaine, their crack. You will have a part of that in the kingdom of God. Not just me. It's not about me. It's about us. preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of us. Some of you listen every week, but you don't support us. I'm praying about getting a motor home and start traveling. I'm serious. I prayed before God yesterday. God, help me. Help me. Help me to get a motor home, and I'll go and I'll park that thing on a parking lot somewhere, and I'll have privacy where I can cry out to God instead of a motel room. They'll throw me out if they hear me screaming like I do when I'm praying sometimes. That man's crazy. They'll probably have me arrested in that motel. I want the liberty to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And that guy's crazy. He's speaking crazy stuff in there. He's praying, and they won't say tongues. They'll say he's crazy. He's praying something crazy. Get him out of the motel. He's affecting the clientele here. Yeah, I won't affect them all right. I won't affect them all right with the Holy Ghost. Pray that God will open the door for me to have that. Everything that we're doing is going back for the sake of ministry souls. I told Steve Quell the other day, I don't need a pair of tennis shoes. I don't need a toothbrush. But I got to get out and preach the gospel. There's far too many souls lost, deceived. They deserve the right to hear. I've not reaped what I have sown into the kingdom. I want to say that again. I have not reaped what I have sown into the kingdom. I'm not talking financially. I'm talking about the years. And I believe I can honestly say, accumulatively, I've put in years of days of fasting. Years. Months and months of hours of prayer. I've not reaped the seed I've sown in those areas of my life. I'm expecting God to let me reap that before I die. Some of you have not reaped what you've sown. The latter rain's coming, buddy. The latter rain's going to bring the harvest. That's why God would withhold the latter rain when Israel sinned, because you need that latter rain to make the crops really bloom and blossom and bring forth much fruit. Jeremiah 3:3, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. Thou hast a whore's forehead, and thou refusest to be ashamed. God would withhold the rain. He said, you need this rain right now for your cantaloupes, your watermelons, your leeks, your cucumbers. They need that water so they'll really grow large. They control the watering of the watermelons in South Carolina. And they, at night, will really, when they're having drought, they will, of course, irrigate the fields, and they'll turn the water on and let those melons suck up that water, so them watermelons would get so huge. But they wouldn't if they didn't have the water. Why do you think they call them watermelons? They're full of water. But boy, are they good. I had two big old bowlfuls of watermelon last night. Let me get back to the Word of God. Uncleanness. People say, well, you know, I think you're just a little bit legalistic at times. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now that's 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 7:1. The next verse, first verse in chapter 7. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Did you get that? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. In other words, your physical flesh can be filthy, and your spirit can be filthy. And your spirit is filthy when you suffer your flesh to indulge in filth. Now, again, I know my Baptist brethren get upset with me because they say, well, that's my flesh and not my spirit. Well, you see there, sir, you don't know your Bible because he said cleansing ourselves from both spirit and flesh from filthiness. And furthermore, your flesh never does anything your spirit does not consent to. Did you get that? Your flesh never does anything unless your spirit gives consent. Then was Jesus led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil said, command that the stone be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan tempted Christ's flesh, but Christ's spirit said no to his flesh. Not going to happen. You see, we've all been tempted to do things we should not do. Can I get an amen there? Thank you for you honest people. The devil tempts your flesh. Thus your spirit either gives consent or your spirit says, no, no, I'm not going there. I'm not even going to dwell on that thought. I resist you, Satan. James 4:7, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. You say no. The devil tries again. See, that's one thing about Satan. He don't quit. Like a lot of Christians. He doesn't quit tempting you, testing you, trying to defile you. He wants your spirit and he wants your flesh filthy. If you don't think your flesh plays a role in your redemption, you need to read your Bible. I don't attack any person personally. I attack the false doctrine. I love my brethren. Whether you're a Methodist, you're a Baptist, you're a Presbyterian, Catholic, that has nothing to do with it. That's just a name. I'm talking about your soul and your spirit and your flesh. Are they walking in God's Word and in God's Spirit? That's what I'm preaching. Listen to Paul's words to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did he say body? I think he did. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So your flesh is your body. Hello? Am I preaching the truth? All three, spirit, soul, body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithless he that calleth you. He's calling you to be blameless, spirit, soul, and body. But my Baptist friends will tell me, well, it doesn't matter what your flesh does. You're deceived. I said you're deceived if you believe different to that, because I've just given you the Word of God where Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:1, let me quote it again. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting or maturing ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I know I make you mad. It ain't. I'm not trying to make you mad. Listen to me. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm going to be like little Joey Osteen. I'm trying to coach you. But see, instead of me coaching you on his method, I'm trying to drive it home. I'm trying to be like Vince Lombardi with a piece of chalk and a chalkboard, and I'm going to beat that piece of chalkboard to death with that piece of chalk in my hand and tell you, you are to cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me drop on down 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Paul said, I'm suffering tribulation, but I'm going to remain faithful in the boldness of my speech. I'm not going to compromise the Word of God. I was praying yesterday morning. Mondo, Jim Baker's executive director, told me, said, Pastor, share your heart. Share your heart. You'll be speaking to mega churches and mega preachers. I was praying yesterday. I said, okay, God, give me favor with a handful of mega churches and mega preachers. And I told you what God told me what to do. I said, God, if these doors open, what do I ask them? If someone says, come to my church and preach, he said, ask them one question. Can I preach the entirety of the Word of God? If they say, well, we don't want you to talk about same-sex marriage, we don't want you to talk about sodomites, then the Lord said, scratch them off. I have a feeling in my heart. I'm going to be asked to do something. And many of you listening to me and many others will judge me because I'm going to obey God and I'm going to do it. And you're going to say, you compromised. I sensed that in my prayer yesterday. I will be accused of compromising because God is about to open a door. You see, I've already had people said, I'm through with you because you went on the Baker Show. But if you bothered to watch the Baker Show, did I compromise the message? Now, I know I had that one Jezebel who wrote me and said, I'm cooking the books. Email me, I should say. I'll give you scripture showing you the church in heaven. What a liar. What a liar. I have probably forgotten more Bible verses than she's probably read. And she's going to show me the church. You see, she can never show me the word church. She's going to try to use conjecture. She's going to try to use conjecture. And I know what she's going to show me, the 24 elders. Well, guess what? Where would you expect them to be, ma'am? They're dead. They all died, the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. Where would you expect them to be, in hell? I know what you're going to show me. I'm not a fool. I'm not an idiot. You're the foolish one. You think you're smart. You're professing yourself to be wise, but you're becoming a fool. And you're going to tell me that's the church. That says nothing, one word about the church. I know who the 24 elders are. They're the leaders of each tribe of Israel in the Old Testament, and they're the 12 apostles. What's 12 and 12? 24. I'm not stupid. I get so tired of these asinine people who think they can come along and try to show me something in the Bible when it's absolute conjecture. The word church is not even mentioned. After chapter 4. But she's going to show me the church. She's going to show it to me. You see, what she's going to do, she's going to do what Jesus or Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. You see, God's trying to tell them the truth, but they refuse to believe the truth. So God said, because you refuse the truth, you have to believe a lie, so you're going to be damned. I didn't say that. God said that. I give you the word of God for what I'm preaching. You're going to give me some kind of Bible verse full of conjecture that says nothing about the issue or argument. No, not one. See, that's cooking the books. See, that's cooking the books. You know what bothers me about so-called Christian people? How they have the propensity, the proclivity, the tendency to just flat out lie about things. That's really what bothers me, because as I said, after Revelation 3:14, you don't see the word church mentioned again, but she's going to show me the church in heaven. She's going to show it to me. Well, see, she's lying. She's not going to show me one Bible verse that uses the phrase church, just like Revelation 4:1. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter the rapture. Hello? Is that really what that verse said? See, that's conjecture. Hereafter what? Well, it's got to be hereafter the rapture. What nonsense. I'll pick this back up on whoredom tomorrow, because it's going to get worse. And I can't afford to be passive and let you be deceived. I just can't do it. I can't afford to do it, because I love you too much to let you go without the truth of God's word. I must preach uncompromisingly every time I come to the microphone. Let me ask of you to... again, drop Jim Baker an email, drop Jim Baker a note, a letter, and say thank you for allowing Pastor Langford to come on and share the pure word of God. Would you do that for me? I wish I had at least 200 people who would say thank you. You see, I've made up my mind. I'm going to stand with men and women who are trying to get the truth across. And I know there's coming a circumstance. There's coming a situation. The Lord's going to put it in my heart. He's going to open a door, and some people are going to say, he compromised. But yet you won't hear the word compromise, but I'll be accused of compromising because I went to somebody's church or to another television program, and I preached the word of God, but I compromised. Well, that's the way you feel. That's the way you feel. But if I have an open door to preach the gospel, I'm going to preach it.
Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, sign up 28020.